Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have Molly Hemingway join us for her reaction to the Roe versus Wade ruling, as well how Biden might be ramping up to steal the midterm elections. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you have your tickets to our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. It is going to be amazing, everybody. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Our Student Action Summit is going to be rocking. So come to our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. We have also our Turning Point Action Summit that will be happening. Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump right there in Tampa, Florida. So check it out, tpusa.com/SAS. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Lynn from Arizona, thank you for your support. Appreciate it. Grace from Washington, thank you for your support. Veronica from California, thank you. Gary from Texas. Remy from Alabama. Also, I want to thank Jody from California. Andrea from Texas. Patricia from Pennsylvania. Vonice from Arizona. Dan from Colorado. Marcy from Utah. And David from Nevada, charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit again at tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. It's an incredible day, and the left is losing their mind. This is my favorite. Let's go to cut 103. ABC, they said, how dare the Supreme Court ignore any potential public reaction? Play cut 103.
You know, it's interesting, Terry, because initially in this opinion that had been leaked, Justice Alito had written previously that we cannot allow our decisions to be affected by any extraneous influences, such as concern about the public's reaction to our work, talking about any reaction actually to that leak or what could happen if this ruling came down. And it would seem in delivering the same opinion today that that's exactly what they've done here. They've ignored any potential public reaction to this.
They just ignored what public reaction. What do they mean by that? I mean their threats didn't work. Now, let's remember that the decision was leaked in a last-ditch attempt to try to thwart this from happening. We still don't know who the leaker is. Inexcusably, we don't know who the leaker is. I hope they're arrested and they serve a healthy prison sentence. But it really goes to show how this is the new right. Oh, by the way, someone tried to murder Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah, how do we forget about that? Someone was arrested imminently trying to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh outside of his home. That's how high the stakes were. Not just that a bunch of degenerates were walking around with posters outside of his home, which is a violation of federal law, by the way. It is against federal law to protest outside of a Supreme Court justice's home with the intent to try and influence a Supreme Court decision. Now, I just want everyone to recognize Brett Kavanaugh had every reason to become like a John Roberts. He's in the suburbs of D.C. They destroyed him. But Brett Kavanaugh in particular, Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett to a lesser extent, they did everything they could to try to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. And let us all learn from Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas especially, how to react to the left when they try to destroy your life. When they try to destroy your life, when they try to obliterate your career, you punch back twice as hard. Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention two now passed away legends and heroes that are largely responsible that helped us get where we are today. And that is Justice Antonin Scalia and the great Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was a pro-life warrior. He would be so happy right now. He brought so many people into the pro-life movement. Rush Limbaugh, for years, was one of the most articulate and courageous and intense pro-life leaders, unapologetically so. Rush Limbaugh was pro-life before the pro-life movement had the funding or the infrastructure or the kind of grassroots support. And Rush would never lay off of that topic. Rush was on top of it for 30 years in the excellence in broadcasting. I remember time and time again when I was a senior in high school and I would be listening on local Chicago radio, Rush would be going on and on and on about some pro-life story about how Planned Parenthood was doing something illegal. And another person that I do want to mention that deserves a lot of credit as well is Billy Graham. Billy Graham, he would just be so ecstatic right now. Scalia, Rush, Billy Graham. Billy Graham, who spoke moral clarity into our times. Billy Graham, who was, in my opinion, the most successful evangelist in the 20th century. Who at any pastor you turn to, they have nothing bad to say about Billy Graham. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, he preached the inerrancy of Scripture, but he was very clear about the moral truths of our country, or that undergird our country. And then finally, Trump brought all of this movement to fruition. And yes, I begrudgingly and reluctantly have to say Mitch McConnell deserves credit for not putting Merrick Garland on the U.S. Supreme Court. It's true. When Justice Antonin Scalia passed away in either January or February of 2016, Mitch McConnell had a decision to make. It was an election year, and Mitch McConnell was attacked relentlessly by the New York Times, by the Washington Post, by all the activist groups. And Mitch McConnell had a decision, and the decision that he made was a good decision for the country, period, end of story. And trust me, I'm no fan of Mitch McConnell's at all. But you have to be honest. When you have big victories like this, you have to look back and say, like, yeah, someone I'm not a big fan of actually helped us get there. And I know some of you, I got angry emails yesterday when I said this about McConnell. You could be angry about it, but it's just factual. It's just the way it is, okay? Now, it's not all because of him. He was listening to the base, and he was pushed by Donald Trump, and he was pushed by some of these great judicial experts. But honestly, Mitch McConnell rolled the dice, and Mitch McConnell won. You see, in August and September of 2016, there was a massive push by Barack Obama to get Merrick Garland on the U.S. Supreme Court. Could you imagine Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court? We were told that he was this moderate, middle-of-the-road kind of D.C. Circuit Court. We now know that is a pile of rubbish. Merrick Garland is a uncontrolled snake authorizing raids against Trump political opponents. Merrick Garland is far from a moderate, middle-of-the-road attorney general, not to mention the memo gate targeting moms and dads. Merrick Garland wouldn't agree with this decision. He doesn't. I bet the DOJ has probably already sent out a press release. And he would have been on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, someone emailed us, well, Charlie, Mitch McConnell should have put Merrick Garland up for a vote, and then he would have lost in the vote. That is not at all right. We would have had Murkowski or Collins and a couple defectors, and Merrick Garland very well might have been on the U.S. Supreme Court. But Mitch McConnell rolled the dice, and he said, boy, if we can win back the White House and win back the Senate, we can fill Gorsuch's seat in the following February. And McConnell, he was right. For the absolute tactician that he is and the parliamentarian, McConnell is part of this. He played a small part, but he definitely did. But then Donald Trump also, putting forward the justices he said he was going to put forward. Neil Gorsuch. Okay, that one didn't really upset the left that much. It was trading a conservative for a conservative. But let's not forget the confirmation fight of Brett Kavanaugh. You see, they knew the Kavanaugh one was the big one. Now, Amy Coney Barrett was actually bigger. They couldn't attack her. She was unassailable. couldn't attack her. You see, Amy Coney Barrett sat in there with no notes and they couldn't Me Too her. They couldn't say that she was a gang rapist. They couldn't say that Amy Coney Barrett, I don't know, drugged women or whatever they tried to accuse Brett Kavanaugh of. The person accusing it, Michael Avenatti, who I think is now on his second prison sentence. And Amy Coney Barrett was able to answer every question brilliantly after the unexpected passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So we look at this. We look at Rush. We look at Scalia. We look at Billy Graham. And yes, we look at Trump and McConnell for the role that he played. Impossible big things that otherwise would have seemed out of reach can be done, everybody. But it takes relentless, long effort. And you know what's really interesting? Is this, in my opinion, in my lifetime, my 28 years, this is the most significant conservative policy victory of my life. And we must study carefully, how did this happen? How can we then scale it for other pro-parent victories? How can we make this a starting point of a journey of a million steps that that starts with a single step? How do we study this? Like, wow, that's amazing. Let's now do this in other places. That is some of the big takeaway that we're going to continue to explore during this hour. Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com. Or call 888-888-1172. 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com. So I just got to tell you that Donald Trump, if he wants to be the nominee in 2024, it's his. It is over. People say, oh, DeSantis can run against him. No, not after this. All Trump has to do is say, look, I overturned Roe versus Wade, especially with the conservative base. They've been so longing for a victory. Now, it all started at a moment where it was a difficult situation. It was. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. No one celebrated it. Okay, when conservatives die, liberals celebrate. We don't enjoy death. Death is a terrible thing. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and Donald Trump was doing a rally while the news of her death came out. And there was kind of this moment where everyone kind of sat with bated breath, like, how is Trump going to react to this? And incredibly, we actually have a video of how he reacted to it, because he came right off stage. Now, I got to say, how the White House staff didn't go and intercept Trump and whisper in his ear is remarkable. But you can see the video. He walks right off stage, straight to the press, with nobody whispering in his ear. And the first person to tell Donald Trump that Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away was the media. It was the first person. And it's like something out of a novel, out of a movie. You could not script it better than this. You have Elton John playing in the background as he walks up stoically. And he just has this massive alpha male look. And here's how he reacted. And this is where it all started. Play tape.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. You're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life. I'm actually sad to hear that. I am sad to hear that. Thank you very much.
just, it's amazing. In real time, to have the stoicism, to have the poise to react that way. With Elton John playing over the speaker. This is in the midst of the campaign, remember. He's doing 5, 6, 7 rallies a day. Remember when Donald Trump was running for office? He was asked directly by Chris Wallace, the snake. And Chris Wallace asked him, so what are you going to do with abortion? What are you going to do with abortion? What are you going to do with abortion? Play cut 107.
Because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you
if
like
to... If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
It's perfect. In fact, the full tape shows that he said he'll appoint two or three justices. It's as if he just with perfect precision predicted what he was going to do. And he had the courage to fulfill that. He had every reason to go put more John Roberts on the court. He had every reason, except for the fact that's not who he is. Then if you want to connect the otherwise disconnected, why do you think they want to indict Donald Trump so badly? Why do you think they're so focused on some phone call he had with Georgia? Why do you think they're raiding Trump allies and operatives all across the country? Because they blame him for this. They blame him for Roe versus Wade being repealed. They say it's an illegitimate court. What they're really saying is he won an election he wasn't supposed to win. It was supposed to be this seamless transformation from Barack Hussein Obama to Hillary Rodham Clinton, and the cartel and the gang was going to stay in charge, but it all went south. The unexpected, robust, anti-fragile, conservative movement that was beat down relentlessly under the Obama regime appointed a billionaire businessman with a colorful life history. And despite the fact that a tape comes out in early October, the Billy Bush tape, Donald Trump still received support from evangelicals and Christians and pro-lifers and parents because they said, hey, at the very least, I know we're going to get good judges. And for every one of you out there that don't like Trump and you say, I can't stand the man, he's unethical, whatever, and you still voted for him, God bless you. Because you now have been vindicated for realizing that there is a greater good above someone's moral shortcomings.
Hey, everybody. As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has an amazing passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Nope, you know Mike, he's got lots of energy. He's done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll only save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop it. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help protect fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. I love Mike Lindell. I know you do too. Support him and get something comfortable in return. Call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. Or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
With us right now is the great Molly Hemingway on this incredibly eventful news day. Molly, welcome back to the program. Your initial thoughts on the Supreme Court's decision?
Well, it's just an amazing day to experience. Many people have worked for nearly 50 years to get to this moment where abortion law is returned to the people. A lot of people understood that Roe v. Wade was a poorly decided decision. You have a consensus on that, whether that's pro-lifers or people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But it had managed to hold for a very long period of time. And it took a lot of work from a lot of people and human rights activists and pro-life leaders and the conservative judicial movement. And finally, this day has arrived. And it's just a wonderful day for women and their children and their families. And of course, it also means there's a lot of work to come in the days and years ahead to protect these families and to also create a culture of life.
And so it seems as if the Democrats are immediately pivoting this, as we would expect, towards kind of looking at the midterms, trying to use this as a way to stir up their base. You have a phenomenal piece out on The Federalist calling, yes, Biden is hiding his plan to rig the 2022 midterm elections at thefederalist.com. What do you mean by that?
Well, I wrote a book on the 2020 election and what Democrats did to control that election. It focused a lot on the private takeover of government election systems, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg's $450 million, where they went into the blue areas of swing states and essentially ran the get out the vote operation in those areas. Well, in March of 2021, Biden issued an executive order demanding that 600 federal agencies start getting involved in elections. Now, that's unconstitutional. There is no authority given to the executive branch to meddle in state elections. Congress has not granted them that authority. It's also worrisome because federal agencies, of course, hand out benefits. There have been laws put in place to actually ban agencies from tying elections with federal benefits, you know, to ban political activity. Mobilizing voters is an inherently political act. Well, people who were worried about this, constitutional scholars, Republican politicians, people of that, media figures, they started asking for what more details on this plan. And the Biden administration has steadfastly refused to share details about what their plan is, even as we are beginning to see it being put into place. You are seeing agencies take, you know, what are supposed to be public facing, say, job training centers and turning them into get out the vote operations. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that in the Department of Labor, Department of Education, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, all sorts of things, but they're not being honest or transparent about exactly what they're doing. And so people who care about election security are frankly very worried, not just that it's happening, but that the details of it are being kept hidden from the public.
Yeah, you write here in the piece, when President Biden ordered all 600 federal agencies to, quote, expand citizens' opportunities to register to vote and to obtain information about participating in the electoral process, most people really aren't aware of this. Is this even remotely legal to mobilize the federal civil service and bureaucracy for a potential political aim?
So many congressional committees and many congressmen have been sounding the alarm that this is not, in fact, legal. Never has Congress given authority to executive branch agencies to do this kind of election-related activity. You know, it came out in an executive order. And in order to litigate this, you kind of need some details. You need to know what's going on. So there actually have been lawsuits filed by good government groups who are just at this point trying to figure out exactly what's going on. The lack of transparency is a serious problem because everyone needs to have elections that are free and fair and that they can trust. And using the power and the wealth of the federal government to mobilize voters in what is surely a partisan fashion is a threat to our system. And it's very important that people, you know what's going on, that answers be given immediately, and that people be able to fight about it.
So tell us proactively what anybody could do, state legislatures or anyone. It's not too late, in my opinion, to try to prevent this from occurring. What is the game plan? What are the action steps that need to happen? Because my fear is more of a structural fear. Not that the people are not with us, not that the issues are not in our favor, but Democrats are going to be able to play with the actual configuration of how our elections are conducted. What are the action steps here?
So there is a lot that states can do. Both secretaries of state and state legislatures can make it clear that they know and assert that the Constitution gives the authority to run elections to the states. And that includes registering voters, having authority over who's on a voter roll or not. One of the reasons why people are concerned about this massive federal overtaking of elections is that all 50 states have different laws governing their election processes. It would be foolish to assume that these federal bureaucrats would have knowledge of those different laws, of what the different rules and regulations are. And our voter rolls are frankly a mess. And that's a problem in traditional elections. It's a disaster when you're talking about insecure, unsupervised mail-in balloting, where a lot of shenanigans take place. That's something everybody agreed with, whether they were liberal media or Jimmy Carter or otherwise, right up until the 2020 election. You want to have elections where you have clear understanding of who's eligible to vote, how those ballots are being handled, that there's no corruption or compulsion involved. And we are working hard in these last few years to destabilize our elections. And you can see where that is something that's very bad for the health of the Republic. So yes, absolutely. Secretaries of states can start issuing letters. I believe that the West Virginia Secretary of State might have already done so. There's actually a meeting of secretaries of states that is happening right now or soon in Louisiana. So they'll all be probably talking about it. So they need to assert that that they are the agents of authority to manage their voter rolls and the administration of elections.
So I want to play a tape here of Joe Biden talking about wanting to codify Roe v. Wade via Congress, which would only be possible, in my opinion, if they are able to change the structure of how our elections are conducted. I'll play this tape. I'll get your response, Molly. Play cut 119.
World, but this decision must not be the final word. My administration will use all of its appropriate lawful powers, but Congress must act. And with your vote, you can act. You can have the final word. This is not over.
Molly, is it over?
It's not over. And what this decision does today is allows the people of each state to debate abortion law and what they think abortion law should be in their given states. This is what Roe v. Wade has stolen from the people for the last 50 years. It really just brings people back to a starting line. Now is where you go back to your state legislatures or work through ballot referendums to protect human life and to support mothers, or you don't. And so it is absolutely going to be a continuation of a fight, but this is what has been forbidden and taken from the people for 50 years. Now, I do think that Joe Biden is wrong to think that this will be politically advantageous for his side. The true middle ground in America is not to protect all human life. Sadly, that I think the middle ground is very much represented by this Dobbs decision, which says that the state has an interest in limiting abortion after 15 weeks. It's a very moderate position. It's one that was forbidden from this extreme jurisprudence of Roe v. Wade. And we have seen in recent years where Democrats have tried to make really big hay out of attempts to protect human life, and it hasn't really worked. It was their main issue in the Virginia gubernatorial election. Well, you might remember Glenn Youngkin won the Virginia governor's race, even though the opposition was laser focused on trying to make it all about abortion and you know, scaremongering about what would happen if Glenn Youngkin was put into office. It doesn't seem to be having as salient an effect as Democrats have hoped. And that's probably because we've seen states that have successfully limited abortion and it's been working out really well. And it's also because Democrats control everything right now and their policies are so unpopular and so bad for the American people. It's just, that's what people are focused on.
We just
on.
Have to focus on process. Republicans don't like process. It puts us to sleep. We think everything's about ideas and candidate selection. That stuff matters. But process matters more than that stuff right now. It just does. They understand that if they can game the process, they can then win the elections. Molly, thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead. One final thought.
I'm just going to say, this was a process victory. This is the conservative judicial movement, the pro-life movement, working through and succeeding in processes. And people should remember how much went into that and replicate it.
That's exactly right. All right. Thank you, Molly Hemingway. Deeply appreciate it. And congratulations, editor-in-chief of The Federalist. Remember, Joe Biden used to be for pro-life policies before he was against it. Play cut 112.
The president's opinion has changed, too. In 1974, he said, "I don't like the Supreme Court decision on abortion. I think it went too far. I don't think that a woman has the sole right to say what should happen to her body." And in 2006, he explained,
"I do not view abortion as a choice and a right. I think it's always a tragedy. And I think that it should be rare and safe."
It's always a tragedy. I thought it should be rare and safe. He just does whatever he's told, obviously. One of our listeners emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. They said, didn't they have the choice in their personal life before they got pregnant? Aren't they pro-choice in that way? It's an interesting point. One of our listeners here on Real America's Voice says, it's a great day in America as if every woman in America wants an abortion. No, we do not. Too bad the people that want abortions were not abortions themselves. Maybe they can put the shoe on the other foot and give them something to think about. By the way, did you catch what Joe said earlier? Something about that. Mary Allen from the great state of Texas, thank you for listening. Laura says, this is a significant strike against America's culture of death. Thank you, Lord. My 10-year-old Michael was watching the news this morning with his mom. This is the father saying they were talking about the Roe decision. And he said, quote, they should outlaw it like slavery and call it the Declaration of Baby Pendants. I thought that was very clever. Thank you, Patrick. You have a very smart 10-year-old son. Again, I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. They're in full freakout mode, by the way, outside of the Supreme Court. I pray it doesn't turn into violence, but it sure seems as if the Democrat leaders are acting so incredibly irresponsibly, basically saying we're going to take to the streets, you're going to feel our vengeance. I pray it does not get to that. I really want everything to remain peaceful, but this seems like it's hitting a fever pitch, the likes of which will only parallel that of the Floyd riots a couple summers ago. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Take out your phone and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, as always. It's rigged. If you say things are rigged, you're called an insurrectionist by the left. But Chuck Todd says people think this is a rigged court. Play cut 104.
Oh, I think the Supreme Court I think there are no more black robes. I think the robes are red and blue. Particularly how Donald Trump appointed the Supreme Court, how he went about it, particularly and the whole Scalia thing with McConnell and all that. There really is a lot of people who believe this is a rigged court.
Yeah, so saying things are rigged when you don't get what you want, perfectly fine. For us to question an election, unlike anything we've ever seen before, you get called all these names by the left. Let's go to another cut here. Let's go to this one. On cut 41, Fox News reports on the uptick of attacks on pro-life groups and churches. I'm going to reiterate what I said previously. We need to make sure that our churches and our faith centers are protected right now. Cut 41.
So since that draft opinion leak, there have reportedly been more than 40 attacks on pro-life groups and churches. The pro-abortion group Jane's Revenge says it's behind some of them. That group has also apparently hung flyers around Washington, D.C., threatening a night of rage if the court overturns Roe.
Now, this group Jane's Revenge, if we had an actual Department of Justice, they could easily arrest them all. I'm calling for every Republican attorney general. If Jane's Revenge operates in your state, you need to open up a RICO case, a mob case against Jane's Revenge. Jane's Revenge is a domestic terror organization that has been firebombing pro-life clinics across America. If you are unaware about the firebombing happening in pro-life clinics, that shows how dishonest the press is. Over 40 pro-life clinics across America that actually help women have children, help bring beautiful babies into the world, are now being targeted by Jane's Revenge, a domestic terror outfit. Attacks on pro-life centers. It looks like there's one in Texas. Looks like there's one in red states. Why these Republican attorney generals are not doing immediate criminal investigations and getting subpoenas and warrants behind these Jane's Revenge people? They need to act with swift movement and find out who's funding this, finding out who's doing this. It's unacceptable. You go to 120, it's the flyer right now of what's happening, hopefully, not in the next couple of hours in Washington, D.C. We have journalists and reporters on the ground to find out who these people are. And yes, we are going to try to find the identities of the domestic terrorists. If you burn something down or you smash something, I hope you're arrested and I hope you go to jail for a long period of time. So by the way, some of these attacks have happened in Kansas, in Iowa. I'm pointing out the Republican states in particular. Mississippi, in Florida and Texas, these need to be treated like domestic terror organizations. We need to find the people behind them. We need to root them out. So click up 120, put it back up. This is the night of rage that is coming up in Washington, D.C. This is Jane's Revenge, the domestic terror organization that is saying tonight they are going to riot. That's right. Could you imagine if there was a hit the streets for a MAGA riot? Oh, that's when you get a special counsel and in full investigation by a committee. We're going to keep our eyes on this very closely as this continues. I just want to summarize this, and I've said this before, but I want to reinforce the point, which is the country will not save itself. But if we commit ourselves to doing the small things and the hard things, from elections to winning arguments to legal briefs to court selection to judges, having a bottom-up, stable, focused movement, then we can win. We can do things that otherwise would have seemed so out of grasp. That is the call to action for this moment as a conservative movement. I want to play cut 124. This is the audio from Jane's Revenge. From my knowledge, no one serious has been arrested behind this. Play cut 124.
You have seen that we are real. We are not merely pushing empty words. We are not one group, but many. We were unsurprised to see 30 days come and 30 days pass with no sign of consilience. From here forward, any anti-choice group who closes their doors and stops operating will no longer be a target. But until you do, it's open season.
It's open season against pro-lifers. That is a group, a terrorist group targeting pro-lifers. We're winning, they're losing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.